Kali Krill. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I can hear you quite
there
well.
There we go. That is now loud and clear. So it's somewhat amusing, even though it's a very serious story, but it is somewhat amusing if we look at the reaction by the ANC, who clearly are not very happy right now.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity. I heard your question, but it cuts out every now and again. But let me try and answer that.
Sure.
Well, I think the reaction from the ANC is, of course, they would now want to be in denial because they don't want to take responsibility for the negative consequences of their own behavior. The fact, of course, is that what we are seeing now of these refugees is an indictment of the ANC, because it's the ANC and the ANC-led government that refuses to condemn calling for the killing of Afrikaners and farmers, the Kill the Boer chant. It is under ANC leadership that the president signed the Expropriation Act that threatens property rights. And it's also under ANC governments that we've seen more than 140 pieces of racially discriminating legislation. So what we are seeing now is, of course, the negative consequences of the irresponsible policies of the ANC. That is why they want to deny it. The truth is people are being killed and tortured in the country. These calls for violence are heard, and the Expropriation Act does allow for expropriation without any form of compensation.
So the fact is that the United States has opened up this channel, and a number of people have accepted it. I would imagine that if there was another opportunity based on something else, other people from other races in South Africa would do the same. It is just those that wanted to. It's the ability. It's a legal angle that allows people to accept an opportunity. If it was just couched a little bit differently, like that, it would be it could be seen quite differently. Somehow, though, the ANC has chosen to double down on it. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that it is so important for them to double down rather than to try and find a way to hear the concerns, address some of the concerns, and make people feel that they are wanted in the country? Why is it so difficult for a political party?
Yes, I think, unfortunately, what we are seeing is that ideology is actually the core of the ANC. They are placing the ANC's ideology and interests above those of the country. And in terms of their policy directions, in terms of land, they want land to be state-owned. So they expropriate it, they don't give it to individuals, don't get property rights. So they are still driven by an ideology that is outdated and comes from the Cold War. So they would actually have to rethink the ideology, which I think for them is quite hard. And then secondly is I think they still think they can get away with the momentum of the Mandela era, where the world saw South Africa as this miracle, where human rights are protected, and they think they can now get away with actions. But over years, they have eroded
the
this
good
moral high ground. Yes, they've eroded that by simply openly attacking Israel, openly speaking to Hamas, openly having a good relationship with Iran, even inviting the Iranian ambassador to the Tule House, saying, Nomvula Mokonyane saying in public that they want Sandton Drive to be called Leila Khalid to the road, simply because the U.S. now will have to put on the letterhead her name as the street name. So those things have eroded their credibility, and now I think they want to save face, and the best way for them to they think to do so is denialism, but it won't work. They have been saying the way they wanted to explain themselves locally was just downplaying it and saying everything is due to misinformation or disinformation, trying to get another scapegoat. But I'm glad that they're sending a delegation to the US on next week, because then they will see they won't get away with that. It would actually be seen as an insult if they are saying to the Americans, you just don't know what is happening in the country. So they are going to encounter the reality there. And but from our side, we have to continue to push to make sure that we bring change locally,
I was
because
going to ask you,
as often,
what is the goal here? The goal isn't to move Afrikaans farmers across to the United States. To some extent, that's whereas it is maybe positive for some of the farmers, the reality is it's a failure for South Africa and even for AfriForum, really. So what would the end goal be?
Yes, that is why our stance was and has been to say we are not going to judge anybody that takes this opportunity, because everybody has the right to take their own decisions and to act within what their circumstances are. But it will be a solution maybe for individuals, but not for a cultural community,
Yes,
because I
exactly.
think Afrikaners as a community. Of course, we don't unfortunately have a home, our own country, but the place where Afrikaners can survive culturally is in South Africa, because you have community life here, you have Afrikaans schools that actually carries the culture forward to next generations. Of course, that is also under attack in South Africa with the Bela Act.
Better act, yeah.
But you cannot be angry about the Bela Act and then go to an English-speaking country, because then your children will go to an English
Well,
school
exactly. You
anyway.
land up in the same situation, really.
Yes, and they will be assimilated. And I think one difference is, in terms of the Jewish community across the world, and when I visited Joel Pollack in Los Angeles, there's also a Jewish community there, but they
Sure.
have a synagogue that keeps on binding the community wherever they are in the world.
Correct.
But in terms of Afrikaners, in terms of the religion we have, you are going to be assimilated in a
Right.
Christian church that is
Yes,
English
yes,
speaking and that
yes.
is not affiliated. So for us, it's important to find solutions here. And I think the positive thing about this whole friction with the US, we know that the ANC works on the concept of balance of forces. They write it openly in their policy and strategy and tactics document, which means they will implement their policy except if there is opposition. And we've tried locally through discussions, through many avenues, through a protest march to change things. But the ANC think they are untouchable. And then we need to swing the balance of forces in a certain direction. And I think what we now have, at least the ANC knows that the international community are watching them. And that, of course, would strengthen our discussions also with the ANC that we are going to have later this week.
So what's interesting to me is I often use AfriForum as an example in other discussions because to some extent the Jewish community has always tried to go the route of discussion and building relationships. To some extent in South Africa, that approach has failed us. Obviously we have a wonderful Jewish community here, but the reality is that we're a community that has been treated very, very badly, appallingly, in fact, by the ANC government, who in fact turned their backs on us for reasons that you've mentioned, in ways that you mentioned a little bit earlier, and we've been severely let down. AfriForum took a very different approach, which is almost to metaphorically bash the ANC on the head every time they came out with something that could be problematic. And you have pushed back whenever you've needed to. That, to some extent, has resulted in many things happening. One is that you're taken seriously. B, you've changed the local narrative. You've given the rest of the country permission to speak about things that we were always shamed into not speaking about. We could never speak critically about BEE because then we'd be labeled a racist, even if we aren't. And so it's been. So Afri Forum has played a very important role, I think, in the maturing of our democracy. The long way to get to the question is, when did you come up with a strategy that you refer to and that I've just mentioned? Was it a process, or from the beginning did you recognize that the only way to deal with the ANC was to do so in the way that you have dealt with them?
Yes, thank you so much for that. I think let's say that the best way that we would prefer, if there's a good understanding with whoever is in government, and that one through discussions can solve issues, because that would be much easier. But I think the role we are playing at the moment is defined by the rules of the game. Mm-hmm. And you know, when Winston Churchill, when somebody asked him, why were you one of the few leaders that knew that Adolf Hitler was not appeasable, mm-hmm. he said he read what Adolf Hitler wrote. And he believed it, and he made sure that his strategy was built around that. And I think people should really go and read the ANC strategy and tactics documents. You know, if I tell people what the content of that is, they would think you are busy with conspiracy theories because it's such outdated Cold War terminology and worldviews that people would think it's not possible. So, but if you go and read there, they are actually quite open. Every strategy and tactics document, they bring one out before every national congress they have. So mm-hmm. It's new documents, but with old concepts. And chapter one is always the balance of forces, where they write openly that they can now do things that they could not have done in the past because they, what they call now, control the levers of power. They control the police, they control the civil service, they control many boards on many areas, and they control many municipalities. And now they say they can go into a next phase of what they call the National Democratic Revolution. So if they state they work on a way that they work with the balance of forces, mm-hmm. they now think they are untouchable. And that also means then they don't listen to your arguments, and they think they can handle you with contempt. We've tried negotiations many times, and we will continue. But if you go into the negotiations without any form of pressure mechanism, you are not negotiating, you're actually begging in terms of their ideology. So that is what we need to do. In terms of the Bella Act, we held discussions with them. The president mandated people to negotiate at NEDLAC with our colleagues at Solidarity. An agreement was reached. We had a protest march to show how strongly people feel. And in the end, the president just denied having any knowledge of such discussions and just went ahead with the act. And what does that mean? That means they see us as weak. They think they can do these things and get away with it. And that is why the intervention of the U.S. Is very important, because as long as the ANC thinks they can just walk over people, they think they can walk over the Jewish community, they think they can just walk over Afrikaners, then they will do so. And I think, so it's not really that we are so clever that we thought out this strategy. Mm-hmm. We just we
You
just
read the
read what
document and
Dynasty
you
says.
believed it. Exactly. Going
Yes.
back to Winston
And we
Churchill.
adapted our strategy to apply to the current situation in the country.
One of our listeners is asking the following question. Trump is closing the doors to all other refugees, including those from countries with very patent persecution. Why do you think that it is different here for the Afrikaners? Do you think that it's just a way to embarrass South Africa?
No, I think, of course, I cannot speak on behalf of the Trump administration,
sure.
So I can only speculate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what is very clear, and that was also when we went to the U.S., that was our experience. There is a lot of anger in terms of the from the people in power in the U.S., and that is driven by the South African government's anti-Western, anti-Israel agenda. So I think there's no doubt about that. But what I think in terms of President Trump's constituency, over many years, there was quite a lot of hard work to make sure that the message gets out there. And I think in terms of the more conservative part of the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
I think the story of Afrikaners has become something that is noted.
That they can identify with. Mm.
Yes, and also, when we went to the White House and we started speaking of issues, they know exactly what is going on in the country. They've got the State Department, they've got the embassy, the person there told us that this video of Julius Malema, especially the one at the FNB Stadium where John the Kilde Boer has been mm-hmm. circulating in Washington for quite a while. Those kind of things put Afrikaners at the top of the agenda. We are grateful to do so. As I've said, we don't.
You don't see it as the answer, but it's certainly an option.
But of course, we don't have our own country, such as Israel, where one knows that is that is an option where you can get your strength from.
Right. I hear
so
it.
So we
very different.
We
indeed.
Are. Mm. Yeah, we are a minority here that are. Like Jews at other places are at the mercy of whoever governs, but we need to be strengthened, and I think the U.S. Strengthens us. Of course, one should also not be naive. America's policy is America first,